Ornament, of course, is not just what we incorporate permanently into our buildings. This is a time of year when some people go completely nuts, using their homes as the canvas, I guess, for everything from a simple wreath or a string of lights to full-blown Santa plus baby Jesus spectaculars. We sent John Gordon out to find out why some people start with a few tiny icicle lights and end up in the neighborhood of installation art.
Gail Winterbauer is standing halfway up an 8-foot ladder under the branches of an evergreen tree in the front yard of her home in Alameda, California.
Right now I'm hanging snowflakes because this is usually where we have the Frosty the Snowman area.
Winterbauer's home is one of 55 that make up Christmas Tree Lane, known otherwise as the 3200 block of Thompson Avenue, a street of older craftsmen and English Tudor houses that's been the place to see holiday decorations in this San Francisco Bay Area city since 1938. One of the reasons Winterbauer and her family moved to this street several years ago is so they could take part in the annual ritual of decorating.
Let's see, we're going to have Santa going up to the rooftop with the reindeers, and we also have a sleigh being pulled by 8 tiny pink flamingos, but this year I've also found some snowmingos, which are white. So my husband has to get their tummies all drilled out and put the lights in, and usually we have one that's blinking a red nose. We also have candy canes all over the place, and by the time this is all done, we'll probably have more than 1,000 lights, probably closer to 2,000 lights. How many lights did we hear? How much watts did we have last year? 5,800 watts worth of lights going last year.
There's more going on than meets the eye when Winterbauer and others go a little over the top. Carol Ann Marling, a University of Minnesota professor of American Studies and Art History, is author of the new book, Merry Christmas, Celebrating America's Greatest Holiday. She says giving the public an eyeful of glowing, blinking lights is an act of charity.
Many of the people I've interviewed who do yard ornamentation literally spend their whole off season working away in their basement workshops and believe when they're finished that they're presenting a present to the community.
Marling says seasonal ornamentation also gives us a chance once a year to rise above the anonymity of our houses to declare, I am somebody.
There is a strong sense of the assertion of place that goes on when you decorate your yard. This is my yard. This is my family's yard. This is our statement. This is our collective way of speaking to the public. Making an aesthetic declaration is what these exterior ornaments are all about.
Santa looked a lot like Daddy. Our daddy looked a lot like him.
Some declarations are more unusual than others. Like a Christmas tree made of hubcaps.
Beginning to look a little bit like Christmas.
Jim Pollock is a Baltimore sculptor with a flair for the unusual holiday decoration. His neighbors once dared him to turn a pile of old hubcaps into a tree.
They said, you know, if we could weld these hubcaps together and would it hold up, Jim? And I says, well, how about if we try a different system? Why don't I make a skeleton for the inside, and we'll just hang them off of that frame.
You can find more strange and beautiful decorations outside Pollock's place, like snowmen made from bicycle wheel rims. Pollock lives on another Christmas tree lane of sorts. The 700 block of 34th Street in Baltimore is called Miracle on 34th Street, and you won't find one of the 25 row houses without lots of ornamentation. Many houses feature gaudy displays of bubble lights, Santas, reindeer, nativity scenes, and candy canes.
I think it's incredible to be part of a community of hardworking people that don't consider themselves artists and don't want that tag on them. So they look at me as the artist on the street, and I look at them as much as artists. They're there celebrating, and that's the big point of this season is to celebrate.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
34th Street is a major attraction in Baltimore from Thanksgiving to New Year's. One of its biggest fans is Rebecca Hofberger, founder of Baltimore's American Visionary Art Museum.
It's just so over the top. It's like being stoned on some level. You know, God rescue us from tasteful things, you know, decoration and whatever, because there tends to be a sameness in that. And what's wonderful is like Miracle on 34th Street here in Baltimore, when it is over the top, you know.
Hofberger says the stuff you'll see on blue-collar 34th Street is better than you'll find in many museums because it doesn't come from people who identify themselves as artists.
Oh, I think it's art at its best. You know, the ancients that were so prolific at art making, whether it was Hopis, you know, or New Guinea tribesmen, or the ancient Egyptians, or the ancient Greeks, they never had a word in their language for art. They had a term that meant, in their respective languages, well-made or not well-made. You know, and obviously you hear from Jim, you know, there's this, you know, such a respect for what people do, even if they're buying it from, you know, Target or Kmart or whatever, the assemblage, they're collage artists in light, let's say, put it that way, because they're making the choices of what's beautiful to them from a, you know, this whole huge selection of Hazaray, you know.
For Studio 360, I'm John Gordon.
I'm Kurt Anderson in Studio 360 today with Myra Kalman, the designer and illustrator, talking about ornamentation,